With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Today's episode is brought to you by DraftKings. Use promo code KIRK and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code KIRK at DraftKings.com.
This week on Enough About Me with Kirk Minahan, Kirk sits down with John Krasinski. You guys know him best as Jim from The Office and for movies like 13 Hours. It's a very fascinating conversation, especially for you massive fans of The Office, like Chris Curtis, who got his Make-A-Wish moment in meeting Jim from The Office. But for those of you who are fans from The Office, you get to hear some inside stories, and you get to hear what the future might hold for the show. Who knows? That's coming up next on Enough About Me.
So we're taping this podcast literally in a bus that is much, I am saying, 50 fucking times nicer than our radio studio. It's not even close how much nicer. It's true. This is how you live your life?
No, this is how my brother lives his life. This is my brother's bus.
This is Paul's bus.
This is Paul Krasinski's bus. His new venture here, his new company, Epicenter. Epicenter Experience, which I'm doing the talk tonight. Yeah, he brought me on this bus, and I said, I don't even know if the Stones have as nice a bus.
I don't think so. This is wild. So we're gonna stay here until you kick us out, because if you ever saw our studio, if you ever came in, you should come in whenever you're promoting a movie. Come in, do the show.
Done.
We all love you here. You're going to vomit when you walk into the studio. You will puke. You're going to say, this is the grossest place in the world.
I know.
And leave.
He even has like a recording studio in here. This is weird.
It's crazy. So I was talking to you before. I saw the Hollers three nights ago.
Liberty Tree, you said.
Liberty. I'm sure you know that well.
I know it well.
Right up 95 for you.
That's right.
From New Bomb right up. And all the movie theaters that we had growing up are like gone now.
It's crazy.
Like the little theater. So I live in Lexington. There's a little, I don't know if you've ever been there, but a little two screener.
I've been to Lexington. I don't think I've been to that theater, though.
That's the kind of theater where the Hollers would still play. It's
right.
One of those theaters.
It would be playing for like $1.25 now.
Yeah. Well, not yet. Not yet. I don't think you're there yet. But we were talking about before. So you did it like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, shot this 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, and it was just after The Office, actually. I was telling you that, you know, when The Office ends, it's a huge deal for everybody, I'm sure, but for us, it was crazy. You know, it was a lifestyle. It was everything I had ever known other than being a waiter. I mean, it gave me absolutely every opportunity and every family member I'd had in my career, and then all of a sudden, it's just gone. You just don't get to report to duty the next day. And so I think I jumped in a lot. Emotionally, I jumped into directing because it would throw me back into something where I could really focus and do something fun that I loved.
And I was saying to you, I asked you before, in a weird way, is it easier to get a big budget movie made, like a $40-50 million budget movie made, than a little movie, or is that not true?
You know, it's probably.
Could you just get a movie made for $1 million or $2 million?
There's something really fun about doing it down and dirty, and this one was not. You know, not quite $4 million, and which sounds like a lot of money, which it is to anybody, but to make a movie, that's pretty down and dirty. That's getting a lot of actors to come down to Jackson, Mississippi, get paid nothing. I'm sure they paid us to be in the movie by the end.
Right.
But it's really fun. There's a family atmosphere because nobody's on your back. So the more money there is, the more people are telling you what to do, and that gets a little frustrating.
Are you going to find yourself constantly thinking your career and your life now as a writer, as a filmmaker, as an actor, back to Boston in terms of stories? Because you produced Manchester by the Sea,
that's right?
Which has got an insane amount of buzz, right?
It's amazing.
Were you going to be in it or no?
I was. You know, it's funny. I was going to be in it with Matt Damon. It was my first. That was actually my first original idea I'd ever come up with. And you know, obviously, Kenny Lonergan, who wrote it and directed it, took a whole different take on it. It's totally his beautiful, you know, talent that he has in doing so. I mean, You Can Count on Me was one of my favorite movies ever.
And he made the one that was on the shelf
Margaret.
Forever. Yeah, it was like three. I saw it. It was wild.
It's crazy, yeah. And then there's like a director's cut version.
Did you see that scene where Allison Janney dies? It's like the craziest scene in movie history.
My God, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it?
No.
You should probably see his movies if he's in
it. No, I ended with You Can Count on Me, and then I waited for Manchester by the Sea. Yeah. And then I was like, do my movie, Kenny. He was like, why are you talking weird to me?
So you were going to be, did you know, so you and Damon were going to be.
Yeah, he was going to be, we were going to be the two brothers, and then, you know, Kenny took it and started writing the script, so we didn't know when that was going to come in.
Yeah.
And we did the movie Promised Land instead, which is weirdly my second original idea. So Matt and I went off and did Promised Land instead.
Yeah. With Hal Holbrook.
Who's the greatest living legend?
Still alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was kind of semi-old, like in All the President's Men, kind of a little bit.
Yeah, right?
Which was only, you know,
still
40 years ago.
Yeah. But still unbelievable.
But a great actor.
Yeah.
Into the Wild.
I mean, anytime. And he could read something off a menu at lunch and I'd start crying. Everything he does is emotional and beautiful. And Into the Wild. That scene in Into the Wild still gets me emotional.
Oh, where he's more so.
By the way, I cry at everything. I am not afraid to say.
I'm
crying right now.
It was odd we met and you started crying. I thought this is a little – we should probably get to know each other before you do that. But you were weeping, like very passionate.
Yeah. I was a big fan of your Lenny Dykstra interview.
Oh, well, we're going to reenact that at some point.
Perfect.
We'll see what kind of actor you are.
Perfect.
So I was thinking this when I was finally we're going to get you on here. So did you watch True Detective season one?
I did.
Okay. So I watched True Detective season one. Watched the whole thing. It was great. It was awesome. And never once when I'm watching it do I think Cheers is my favorite sitcom ever.
Yeah.
Did I ever think I'm watching Woody Boyd? Right. Like it never crosses your mind.
No. Ever.
No Country for Old Men. I never think I'm watching Woody Boyd.
Right.
Are you worried because you're in it, or do you not care? You're in a sitcom, a famous sitcom. It's mm-hmm. for a lot of people, for my producer, Chris Curtis, who it's his favorite show of all time.
Is it, Chris?
It is his favorite show of all time.
He's hiding behind the headphones, but.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. it was either that or the Paul Reiser show. I forget which one was. But
just called the Paul Reiser show. Yeah.
But for you, like, do you even think of that? And is it something you can even worry about? Like, you're going to be forever seen as Jim Halpert? Or you just not even – it's something you can't control?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely nothing I can do about it. But also, I think it's an honor. You know what I mean? I was telling you before, I was a waiter when I got that job. So when I got that job and –
Well, when did you move out to L.A.?
2003.
So you were 30?
Yeah. No, I was 23 when I got the show.
You were 23 years old when you got the show?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
36, about to be 37. That's why I had to stutter.
40.
Jesus. So you're 36, so you do some things before The Office?
No, I was just waiting tables. I mean, I'd done like a pilot that didn't get picked up, and I'd done a bunch of commercials.
Right.
I skated with the Bruins for Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
I did Nomar's glove pattern with Nomar for Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
You know, I always have to come back to Boston.
Yes. Yeah,
like I had any say in those commercials I did.
Right.
But no, so for me, it was a total life change. And I think that the thing I feel about it is if you let the show into your home and you care about it and you connected to these characters and it was your way to blow off steam every week or whatever, that's an honor for us to be a part of your sort of experience of it. So,
right. Yeah,
do I think everybody will know me as Jim from The Office in one way? Yeah, I think my job as an actor and the fun part about being an actor is to try to do new things. And so as long as I still get the opportunities and people give me the opportunities to see me as something else, like when I did 13 Hours,
right. People
allowed me to, you know, in their heads, they were like, yeah, it's Jim, but let's see what he can do. And luckily they let me try something else.
I watched the end of the Emmys last week and Dennis Franz came out with Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Dennis Franz in like 15 years. He did NYPD Blue forever, right?
Right.
And was like, I'm retiring.
This right, yeah.
Would you have done The Office for like 20 years? Or would you,
know,
or was there some point where you said like, I have to do something else? Because
it wasn't that I needed to do something else. Bizarrely, you know, the cast got together and we were the ones who said we wanted it to be the last season. Because I think NBC was talking about doing it more seasons. And I think we basically had signed on for 8 and they wanted to do 9. So we had the power to say, we'll do one more, but it has to be the end. Because I think we all saw the writing on the wall that you didn't want it to. We had so much fun and it was so special to us and hopefully to everybody watching. And we didn't want it to get bland. Like, you didn't want it to be like Real World year 27 where you're like, are you still doing this show?
Right.
So we wanted to go out on a bang and have people feel like it was something special that they missed. It's always nice to be missed rather than like, you guys should get off the air very soon.
Was there any, if everybody was on board today, like, you know, Carell and Rainn Wilson and Fisher and Daniels, everybody, and they said, we'll do 8 episodes, a one-off on Netflix.
Done.
You would do it.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, I'd do that. I'd do a movie. I'd do any of those things. The key is, can you come up with a good enough story to bring us all back? You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say that someone's having barbecue and we're going to do a movie about it. It's, you know, you got
to. So bad.
All right, maybe, you know what? I think I might have just cracked it.
That's a pitch.
All right, let's take a break real quick. This is your producer, Ben, speaking. We'll get right back to Kirk and Krasinski as they continue to talk about The Office and talk about movie stars making the transition to TV, which is a new trend in Hollywood, which is something that was completely unheard of 30 or 40 years ago. And John will share his insight into why that's taking place right now. But first, Kirk has got to talk to you about how you can make some more money on the weekends using DraftKings.
At DraftKings.com, you don't have to come to first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th in week one took home $100. $100 for 800th place. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. It's the destination. We know this. for 1 week fantasy football. I know all you guys and girls listening play fantasy football, so go to DraftKings. It makes sense. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments, so you're not in trouble if you have a bad week. Just pick your contest, draft your team, follow the action live. Go to DraftKings.com right now. Choose your players for this weekend's contest. For listeners of my podcast, you guys, help me out here. Help yourselves out. Enter promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. Play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K, to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.
But it's so different now than like 20 or 30 years ago. When we grew up, like, you never saw a movie star on TV ever. Like, it was, it just never crossed. I don't know when that started, but it doesn't matter at all now.
It doesn't matter
all. I don't know who's the biggest movie star in the world right now.
I mean, it's got the movie star.
Who's the biggest? DiCaprio, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably.
Like, would I be stunned if I was on Twitter right now and saw DiCaprio just signed a deal to do an 8-part HBO miniseries?
No, by the way, I'm sure he will very soon, because it's all about storytelling. And the thing that's great is, you know, I really do see this as the Wild West of our business, for sure. I'm sure in all the businesses, but creatively, I mean. But this has been amazing because nobody cares. People are choosing what they want to watch rather than being told what they want to watch. And I think that's a big problem for studios who are putting $250 million into a movie saying, you have to watch this. And people go, nah, I just don't want to.
Right.
And you're like, no, this is the one we banked on. So I think people are coming over to TV because now TV really is just movies on a smaller screen.
You were trending on Twitter last night. You weren't trending on Twitter last night. Jim Halpert was trending. You see this trending on Twitter last night? You saw what was going on. So we're taping this on, Tuesday. The debate was last night.
Yep.
And Hillary had some Jim Halpert moments.
She did.
That's what everybody's
saying. Direct the camera. Right down the barrel.
Direct the camera moments.
Right down the barrel.
That's going to stick forever. That's going
to
be
I couldn't believe I was brought up as anything to do with the debates.
Usually, what does that make Trump? Does that make Trump? Is he Carell?
Dwight? I guess it's Dwight.
He's not Dwight. He's not Michael. He's Dwight. Right.
I don't know what
I mean, Trump. Did you know? I mean, you guys were fellow NBC stars. I'm sure good
all
friends.
NBC stars hang out together.
You hung out with them a lot?
Yep. Just we always hung out at
you
a Red
Trump
Lobster.
Steaks?
I don't think I've never met Trump ever.
Never?
Nope. Because I think I was too afraid to get fired.
So here's a question. So I'm guessing, I don't know this, I'm guessing that you're supporting Hillary Clinton.
I don't know.
What does that mean? you're going to vote, right?
Yes. Okay. No, that, yeah. I am going to vote.
Are you going to vote for Hillary Clinton?
I don't know who I'm going to vote for.
You cannot be one of these people who are undecided. You're a bright guy.
No, it's not an undecided thing.
You're not going to tell me?
No, I was raised well that politics and religion stay personal.
Just give me a nod. Give me a wink.
Absolutely vote. Everybody has to vote.
Does doing 13 hours change the way you think about Hillary Clinton at all?
No, not at all. I mean, to me, it's not a thing about – because for us, at least I should say, I can clarify that experience, her name wasn't brought up once in the experience of shooting it.
Right.
And I think what was really interesting is for me, you know, I did it because I come from a big military family, and I've always wanted to be in any sort of military movie to show even a fraction of the heroism and courage it takes to be a man or woman serving. But to me, what was really great was – even the guys will tell you that night there were no emails. That night there were no congressional hearings.
Right.
That night happened, and it was about survival. That was the story we were telling. So we knew it would be taken as a political story, but we knew the story we were shooting was not political at all.
So that movie was shot when?
That movie was shot, that must have been a little over a year ago.
And all the talk about was your body when it came out. And I'm surprised to see that you're fat now.
I mean, what?
You totally let yourself
Son
go.
Of a
it's
bitch.
Embarrassing. What happened? What happened?
I'm not 5% body fat anymore, but I'm trying to stay in shape. I take a break.
Who would want to live like that every day?
You can't live like that. I mean,
well,
you can.
People do.
Yeah, you can. I can't live like
what
that.
What couldn't you eat?
I should say.
Like, what are you going to eat tonight?
Well, tonight, I mean, if I'm celebrating with my family, I'll eat anything and drink anything that comes my way.
You couldn't eat pizza or anything the whole time?
Yeah, no, God, no. It's
so
like,
what would you eat?
Grilled chicken and salads.
That sounds like...
It was the worst.
I would just rather be... I'd rather be 500 pounds than 5% body fat. Like, I'm an
it's
okay
true,
shape,
yeah.
But I couldn't live like that.
I'm about to do Jack Ryan, so this is... I think I have like 2 more weeks before I have to
You're
start training
Jack
for
Ryan
it.
On Amazon.
That's right. To our point of movies and television just blurring the
is
lines.
Is there any point where somebody says to you, okay, it's Jack Ryan and it's on Amazon Prime, is there any point where you say, well, I'd rather be on NBC or on Fox?
No, definitely
You don't
not.
Even care.
No, I don't care at all. I mean, to me, I mean, let's be honest. I do care where it's going to be.
No, I understand. But
Amazon, I think, is so fantastic because, you know, similar to Netflix and all these other places, it's about the content. If you have good enough stuff, people will go wherever it is. I mean, that show that Jerry Seinfeld has, didn't it just win an Emmy? I think
it's on Crackle.
It's on Crackle.
Right.
Right. We don't even know what Crackle is, but I'll go there tonight if I want to watch that show.
Is that Is that just one season right now that you know of? Or do you go in multiple seasons before you
do
the show? How many episodes is it?
Right now it's 10 episodes.
You're about to shoot it?
Yeah, we're going to shoot it in January, February. And we'll start then. It's going to be about 5 or 6 months.
Tom Clancy Jack Ryan, just like a random Jack Ryan.
it's just a dude in his apartment named happens to be named Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
And he's mistaken for the real Jack Ryan all the time. No, it's the real Jack Ryan. It's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
And they did a Jack Ryan, I'm going to blank on this, with Chris Pine a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Which was not great, right?
I go into movies saying I want to be Morgan Freeman was Ben Affleck's Jack Ryan.
How many Jack Ryans have you been?
I was pissed to hear there was any. I thought I was being given the. No, I'm kidding.
I was a huge fan. Like, are you Harrison Ford age Jack Ryan, or are you?
No, we're starting right at the beginning. So the way Tom Clancy wrote it is Jack Ryan starts as an analyst, just behind a desk, and then it slowly goes into a much more adventurous lifestyle.
And where are you shooting that?
We're going to shoot it in New York, and then we're going to shoot it all around the world in different places.
Are you shooting any movies right now other than that?
Just finished a movie here in Boston, the Catherine Bigelow's movie. She was shooting in Boston. I think they're still shooting this week.
They are?
Until next week. It's the Untitled Detroit Riots Project.
And they're shooting it in Boston?
That's going to be the title that they keep, too, by the way.
That's a good title. That's not bad. Who else is in it?
A lot of people. I've been sworn to secrecy about who's in it.
Can you tell me who Catherine Bigelow is voting for president?
She said just go vote.
Jeez.
No, I'm just kidding.
Is her first movie since Zero Dark Thirty?
Yes, it is. I think it is.
And she did...
We're looking at Chris, like, help us out,
Chris,
dude.
Give me Catherine Bigelow's filmography.
Chris, get on your damn phone and Google
something.
When does
Manchester by the Sea come out?
Manchester's coming out, you know, it's... I think it's December? No. I think it's October. I think the end of October, yeah.
And this has got, like, legit Oscar buzz, right?
Casey's unbelievable.
Great.
I mean, like, lights out. Everybody's great in it. Michelle Williams is great in it, but everybody's great, but Casey's unbelievable.
Yeah. Kyle Chandler?
He's always good
in
everything.
He's great. Bloodline, right?
Yes.
Excellent show.
Again, amazing.
Netflix,
yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
But look at Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights was, what, like 8 years ago?
Yeah, and they moved it over to...
yeah, but that was like a movie. Everybody went crazy over that show.
Friday Night Lights is the only one, I think, you can correct me, great book. Great movie, great TV show.
Yeah, you're right. You can't get the trifecta.
Else,
yeah,
right. I don't think The Office was a book, right?
It was not. No, it wasn't
from a Ricky Gervais novel.
No. They should do a Departed show.
TV show?
Yeah.
I get some problems with The Departed.
You do.
The Departed is a little flawed for me. It's a
okay.
Little
go ahead.
It's a little too easy.
Well, accents is always going to be wavering.
Boston accents.
You don't care?
Well, I just when I go in, I know the Boston accents are going to suck.
Okay, so you
like
know
Mark
it stings
Wahlberg
a little.
Doesn't have a great Boston accent. He's from Boston.
No, he had a good accent.
It's a little too Boston, though.
Like, maybe, yeah.
You probably know
him.
He doesn't talk like that when he talks.
No, but he's got a Boston accent for sure.
It's a little too easy in The Departed for me. First of all, Nicholson never, ever, ever let somebody who was a cop ever. I don't care if he breaks his arm or not. He's never letting them in. Now, I understand you got to do that just to get the movie going, but that never happens.
Right.
And Damon kills the guy in the middle of the street, runs in and like erases the security tape. Like,
yeah, that was...
There's no security watching that?
Like, wow, you're really breaking it down, man. I just went and was like, look at this, and I got my popcorn and my soda.
I was so fired up for The Departed because I love Scorsese,
yeah.
And the reviews were unbelievable. Nicholson's in it, right? So I go opening night, and I am fired up. And about right when DiCaprio winds up in What's-Her-Face's office, the shrink's office,
yeah.
I got a little pit in my stomach, and I never loved it again. I hate when I want to love a movie. Like, I wanted to love the Eastwood boxing movie,
yeah,
Hilary Swank, but I didn't love it.
Million Dollar Baby.
It just felt forced to me.
You should do a show about critiquing movies.
I should?
Nope, don't do
it.
No,
it's going to be terrible.
There's too many people, yeah.
It's going to be
people just get angry at you all the time.
How old were you when you directed the David Foster Wallace
movie? 27.
That's kind of pretentious.
It is, yeah. I felt like maybe it was going to just be too pretentious. But the good news is I had just gotten out of college, basically. So I was 22.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Brown University in Providence.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we did a lot of David Foster Wallace reading
there.
Sure, he's great. And believe it or not, that book is actually the moment that... I knew I wanted to act because up until then I was just doing like comedy stuff and it was just fun.
Right.
And then a buddy of mine, actually, Chris Hayes was at, who's on MSNBC.
Yep. I think he's voting for Clinton.
He's voting for Trump. Yeah. We've talked about
he's,
it.
He's,
but
he's,
yeah.
Wow. Surprised to hear that.
But Chris directed a stage reading of Brief Interviews.
Yeah.
And that was the moment that I realized it was just such a special experience. I remember that night. It was unbelievable. I think we did two shows of it, and it was awesome. And so then when I got to New York, I thought, I got to direct that in some other form to show other people, show more people how amazing of a writer he is. And you said you're a big fan.
of Foster Wallace. Huge, massive fan. First of all, I told you about the John Ziegler one. Did you read the McCain one that he wrote?
Yes.
It's like, you
know. And did you read the Kenyon, the speech at Kenyon College? That's unbelievable.
Did you read the biography about him a couple of years ago? The biography.
Are we actually just doing a dick measuring contest right now? Are we doing an intellectual?
Have you ever, ever hung out with David Foster Wallace? Because we were really good friends. We played tennis together all the time.
That's not true.
We were practically best friends.
Oh my God, you're laughing.
Yes, we talk all the time. Until recently. But
that's going to go poorly for you when people are like, "Oh, he's no longer with us."
That's sort of the inherent truth. I think even you understand that. So do you remain still? Are you one of these bullshit Hollywood, totally phony,
totally
like
I am,
Red
yeah.
Sox fans, Patriot fans?
Oh, sorry, I didn't even let you finish the question.
Before the show,
Am I a bullshit person?
Yeah. If Tim Brady would be back week 5, I kind of said, "Yeah, that's actually Tom."
Yeah,
that's all right, no problem.
Tim Brody getting back.
Well, are you watching?
Getting back on first base
out in L.A. in the Palace. Are you watching Patriots games or no?
In the Palace. Where's the Palace?
Well, you have a mansion.
No, I don't.
You do.
We just moved back to New York. We're
so
on
you
the
have
East
no
Coast.
Home, no L.A. home at all.
No.
So you live in New York?
Yep.
In the city itself?
Yep. No, in Brooklyn. We're out in Brooklyn.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hipster. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm a hipster. Jacket. You can see my beard.
It's weird. That's right. The poetry.
I grew an 18-inch beard right here.
I was surprised how good it is. But are you watching the Red Sox and the Patriots? Are you not even?
I haven't. I watch the Red Sox every now and again, but the games are on at different times. It's ridiculous. Football, I don't miss one.
Well, football, anybody can handle it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know when it's going to be.
Exactly.
It's once a week.
More importantly, my wife knows where it's going to be.
She's okay. She's on board.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'll
does
just
she
say
understand, like, what, you know.
Now I'm into fantasy football, and that she does not understand.
No?
No, she called me a full-on nerd the other day. I think it was on my 4th draft.
Right.
And she was like, she used to want me to explain it to her, and now she's like, don't even try. This is just embarrassing for you that I see you sitting with 4 pieces of paper with stat sheets, and you're actually choosing people that you will never meet.
You'd never meet in your life. She had a good British accent in that movie with Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she did.
She should have won an Oscar for that.
Yeah, see, she's bullshit. She's not really British.
Brooklyn, right? You went home? In that movie, like, Meryl Streep treats Anne Hathaway like shit, but then at the end she doesn't.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Did you meet Giselle? Oh, you probably didn't know her. Did you know? Were you married then?
No. I didn't even know
Giselle
Emily
was
yet.
There.
Yeah, Giselle was there.
Have you met Brady and Giselle?
Nope. I've met Brady and Giselle just very quickly to say hi to you, but not like we haven't hung out yet. That's why I'm here. Tonight's the night.
You think Brady's going to show up?
Yeah. I heard this was a podcast and not live. I was like, oh, God. I was just going to call him out here on the podcast.
You could do that.
And instead, you were like, we recorded this on Tuesday. I was like, Brady's never going to hear this.
You don't think so? He might be a fan.
I did an interview last week for the Hollers. I think it was AAF, WAAF. And,
why don't you come out with us? EEI, we do better ratings.
I know. You didn't
we
even.
Like you.
Well, you didn't ask. They did. And they were very nice to me.
We didn't ask?
But somebody said I sounded like Brady. Everybody at the radio station was like, sound exactly like him.
You sound a little like Brady.
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
No?
No. Really? I don't think. Now you're listening for it, and I'm just not speaking as
say
much.
Say the word deflate.
Deflate.
Let me say it. Yes, you sound just like when Brady made the order to those guys. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly how it worked. So now, when you pick projects, right?
By the way, after Edelman is me.
What do you mean?
In the lineup for quarterback. That's
you're
how
next
well
after Edelman?
Yep.
Well, these guys are both going to play this week, so you're going to be okay.
Okay, good. Yes. Yeah.
When you watch at home with the do you watch? Does your wife only like soccer?
No, thank God we've gotten her in. We've started to get her into football. I will say my favorite thing was that one of our first experiences with sports, name drop. I was watching Celtics Lakers with Matt Damon, and she was shooting Adjustment Bureau with Matt at the time.
Chris Curtis, so I'm not really sweating it either.
Well, yeah, we got it. 1-1. But she said, okay, guys, so just so I don't embarrass myself, which one of the Celtics? And I was like, get out.
That's not good.
It's not a good start.
Were you happy with the Promised Land?
I was, yeah. It's just Promised Land, not the Promised Land.
I'm a big Springsteen fan.
Oh, I figured, yeah.
66 shows.
Really?
Yeah. Fucking
he
loser.
Played here, he played Fenway, did
Gillette.
He?
Gillette.
Gillette.
He played Gillette last week, yeah.
And that was like 4.5 hours?
Great show. It was a great show. Although Gillette, I don't know if you're a Bruce fan or not, but like Gillette, or a music fan, those shows, those places are too big, I think.
Yeah, the music gets, yeah.
If you go indoor, like you find like a, you know, when he went to LA forever, he played at, he still played the Forum. He wouldn't go to Staples Center because he hated it.
Oh, really?
Like the old building, yeah.
You know what's funny? Well, the Forum's awesome.
Yeah.
The Forum's great. But the, you know, bizarrely, hilariously, to tie this in, the day before we left to go shoot Promised Land, we saw Springsteen at the Garden in New York.
Right.
And the next day, Matt and I did a massive rewrite because he had just done Wrecking Ball, the album.
Yeah.
And that whole movie is basically about community and sticking together. And so we just went back and were like, you know, Bruce told us what to rewrite.
We've tried to get Damon on here. He's turned us down. Nice guy, asshole. He could tell me.
He's a great guy.
Really?
He's asshole, a great guy. I mean, I'll say is I'm doing the show, so maybe I'm wrong.
That's a good point.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's an asshole.
he's got an interesting career, too, though. He purposely does things, I think, that are anti-commercial sometimes. Like, he did that movie with Gus Van Sant, with Casey Affleck. They just walked around the desert.
Jerry,
for like 2 hours.
That was right after Good Will Hunting.
Go Hunting.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to be wrong in saying this. You either are about to or you did direct a stage
version. I'm about to.
Stage
I mean, again, I don't know when your little podcast airs, but...
Well, it was number one on iTunes a couple of times. I don't know where your podcast is right. I don't remember. Are you going to be
Are you number one now, though?
Well, it goes week by week.
It's right. Okay,
so
okay.
We have some good weeks, some bad weeks. This will do all right, I think.
Maybe not, though. Now you just made me totally nervous. What
are you
going to
tweet it out or no?
Yeah, definitely.
You will.
Yeah, anything for
you're
EDI.
On Twitter.
Come on now.
You're on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I am on Twitter.
Almost 200 followers, I saw. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Are you going to be in Good Will Hunting?
By the way, most of them are just my other Phantom accounts following myself.
All fake. You should play the Stellan Skarsgård role in it.
I'm going to play. I think I'm going to play Will Hunting.
You are?
My wife's going to be Skyler.
You're a little old for Will Hunting.
How dare you?
He's in college.
How dare you?
You said you were 36.
Well, this is an interpretation. It's really for
like the
one
that Reitman's kid does.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is the exact same thing. They're called live reads. Jason did them all the time in L.A.
Yeah.
That's where Quentin Tarantino read The Hateful Eight and then actually made The Hateful Eight after reading it at one of these live reads.
Which is the only Tarantino movie I don't like.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't get around it.
Wow.
I'm critical.
Now
I
actually
want to
like
hear.
Which is huge.
I told you I like The Hollers.
Are you saying that just because I'm here? You can be honest.
No, I promised land that was.
You weren't sure of.
The one that I really, really wanted to like, and I liked a lot of it, and I actually wanted to ask you about it because the sports movies fascinate me. Because I feel like Leatherheads was like this close for some reason. Do you disagree or do you think were you happy with it?
No, I mean, I'm happy with it because it was such a huge experience for me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really one of my first movies ever. So I was still just in complete La La Land.
Right.
Like, definitely not fully capable to stand with George the first 2 weeks and be like, yeah, I'm in a movie with George Clooney, no big deal. So that movie was really special to me. But I think that I love that movie. See, to me, the idea of it in the beginnings of football was awesome. But where's your critical eye now?
For Leatherheads?
Yeah.
I got to see it again. But I remember seeing it.
Thank you for saying that, by the way.
Well, I'll watch it again. My problem, here's my problem is with sports movies is for some reason, North Dallas 40, Bad News Bears, movies, other sports movies from 25-30, First Longest Yard. Back then, I feel like sports movies could be a little dirtier, a little edgier than you make them now.
Now
it seems like all of these ones, and they're fine. I understand like my kids like them.
No, but they have to be like heartfelt.
Like
and
the
more,
Jesse
like,
Owens
yeah.
one, mm-hmm. the Jackie Robinson one, where like they're all treated with this kind of halo effect.
Yeah.
And you're a sports fan, and you've made sport. You should, at some point, would you?
But like Rudy kind of rode the line, right?
But Rudy was great.
Right, but that wasn't like super edgy, but it also wasn't super, I know what you're saying. It was almost like glossy or something.
Yeah, but the scene where Rudy finds out he's getting a Notre Dame, he's sitting on the bench, he starts crying. That's you're as a crier, you're crying in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
What's the last movie you saw?
I mean, anytime someone says, you're 5 foot nothing, I just start crying immediately because of Rock.
I feel like that's never been said to you.
No, but every time I watch Rudy, it's said to me.
What's the last movie you saw in the theater? Did you cry?
I didn't. I'm trying to think. The last movie I saw in the theater.
You see Sully?
I haven't seen it yet. Have
I
you seen it?
I saw it with my wife.
Was it good?
It was good. It was
good. God, I can't wait to hear this movie show that you do.
It was
where
good.
Every single movie, you're
I
like,
I love Clint Eastwood. Think about this. Think about Eastwood for a second, right? He's 86. He started in 1960. And he is 56 years later. He's still relevant, like a relevant, massive. It's the greatest career, not in movie history, in entertainment history. He's been relevant for
maybe
almost 60
maybe in
years.
The history of jobs.
I think it might be. He's still doing it.
Yeah, and doing it really well. You know what's funny about him, too, is he, again, Matt told me this, that he only does like one or two takes, which is terrifying for actors.
Says, right? Yeah, he's like done.
Yeah, so Matt one time said to him, you know, and I brought it to this, to the movie I just directed, was, you know, Matt said to him, can I do another one? You know, he'd done two, and he said, can I do another one? And Clint said, yeah, you can always do another one. Just know that I hired you for the performance I know you can do.
Right.
And Matt was like, I don't need another one. That was like a Rudy speech. That was amazing.
Are you going to act less as you get older?
I don't know. I mean, no, I like acting the most for sure.
You do?
It's the most fun for me. I will say producing and writing has been awesome. I love staying busy.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing a lot of different stuff and, you know, developing TV shows and movies and all this stuff. It's been great.
So you're saying an Office reunion is on because Chris Curtis, I have Chris Curtis right here and you're busy. I know you want to kick us out of here.
No, not at all.
Chris Curtis is so we Chris Kurtz, the producer of the radio show. So we'll go, like, say we go this, we do a week down in spring training in Florida, right? The show.
Right.
Fly down there. We've actually had a great deal the last couple of years. We've taken a private jet with Bobby Orr. We float.
What?
Down there. Yeah, it's for the Jimmy Fund. We do a charity.
That's
thing.
Amazing.
Crazy.
I have a picture with Bobby Orr.
You do?
Yeah, he was at a Bay Bank in Newton Center.
He's the old Bay Bank guy.
Yeah.
I was a kid, too. Same thing.
I took a picture with him. I think it's my mom's favorite picture of me.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long ago?
To be fair, I think she loves Bobby Orr no matter what.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
So Orr's there. Great. I mean, like, I've met a bunch of celebrities, you know, most, including you, Shaky. Orr was a great guy.
Right.
Great guy. He's talking. He was telling stories. Everyone's talking. They're doing all these things. And Chris Kurtz, while there are adults in the room having real conversations, we're on a private fucking plane, which, you know, you're probably used to. I'm not. Kurtz is sitting there with those dopey headphones on like he is right now, watching The Office and giggling. Like,
no.
He's seen the episode 30 times.
How dare you do that to Bobby Orr?
I mean, you know. It's
Bobby Orr deserves your pure attention.
And he'll sit there and be like, you know, yeah, it was the.
What's your favorite prank, Chris, that Jim did to Dwight?
Oh, God. Oh, it has to be Asian Jim.
Right.
When he's showing the pictures and it's you.
You didn't even hesitate.
Oh, no.
That's
absolutely.
Is that the one you, like, cried and fell off a chair?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely that. Or right. I have to say the goose at Benihana for Benihana Christmas when Dwight's acting out the filleting of the goose to the Asian waitress. Absolutely outstanding. So I have one question.
Okay.
So season two is the season where the show sort of took off.
We took off, yeah.
Casino Night, the finale, you kiss Pam. Mm-hmm. What was the moment in that season or in the readings, what episode was the one where you're like, this is going to take us to the next level?
Well, the episode I knew that we were going to – no one knew that people would actually watch it. What I knew is that it was going to be very special was Diversity Day, but that was season one. Season two, the other one that I remember being a big turning point, but I actually remember this is the episode that – I used to go to the same diner every single morning for breakfast. And one day, no one could have cared less who I was. And then the next day after this episode aired was sexual harassment. And as soon as that had aired, I remember walking into that diner and people were like, oh, yeah, that's the guy from the show. And that was crazy because I actually remember the moment where I realized that people even knew who I was. It was crazy. But both those episodes are game-changing. I mean, Diversity Day, I still think when he says his name's Mr. Brown, he said, I'm not going to call you that. Like, that's when I knew, like, we're on some next-level stuff.
That's a make-a-wish moment right there. Can you give him a pin? Can you give him an office pin for that? You've made his life.
Oh, my God.
You've made
Please.
His life.
Entirely. Chris, we got to talk more often. We should just nerd out about The Office all the time.
I think you'd do that. You two have a certain – you kind of have a Jim and Pam kind of chemistry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
It's very palpable.
So I loved the Gervais Office.
Loved like,
I loved it. Loved it. That was great. And I knew The Office was coming. And I kind of knew Carell was a little bit. And I didn't watch –
You know how I knew Carell? I mean, I knew him from The Daily Show.
That's how I knew him.
But do you remember those FedEx commercials?
No.
Oh, my God. They were hilarious. I remember he was on in FedEx commercials, and he was this amazingly hilarious character.
Right.
And then I remember we had just shot the pilot, and I told all my friends that he was the funniest guy ever, and then Anchorman came out, and that was just like, exploded.
And am I wrong that the first season, like you said, wasn't great, but there was some...
Well, the first season was amazing.
No. I'm saying in terms of people...
Good God. Who is this dude? Chris, back me up.
In terms of people who watched
Chris, put the shiv down. He just fashioned a shiv.
The first season where his hair was kind of weird. Carell's hair was kind of weird.
Yep. He changed... Well, he changes here. Yeah.
He got in shape. That's okay. It happens. Yeah. You did it once. You once lost weight. You put all back on. But my thing, in that first off season, or the first... Didn't it explode on iTunes or...
Oh, yeah. So it's funny because I said...
Were they talking about putting on Bravo originally?
They might have... No, I think that when NBC didn't like... They weren't sure of it. They didn't know what it was going to do.
It was kind of...
They might have talked about going to Bravo because they own Bravo at the same time.
That concept was...
But you're 100% right. The reason why we stayed on air at all was because people were actually paying $1.99 to watch a show that they could watch for free on Thursdays.
Right.
And that's when NBC said they have no control. They were like, we have no control. We have to keep airing.
Was this kind of
pre
or early TiVo... Like, was that?
Yeah, was like TiVo early days. I guess TiVo was doing all right, but iTunes was brand new, and the idea of people paying for a television show was insane.
And how many years was it on?
Nine seasons.
It was on nine seasons.
So I was a part of it for 10, basically, because we shot the pilot about a year and a half before, because it took NBC that long to decide whether or not they wanted to do it. I still have a DVD. One of the guys who came down to cancel the show every week, that's not a joke, his name is Jeff. He was an awesome guy from NBC. He's like, I love this show. We're not going to do it anymore.
Jeff Zucker?
No, it wasn't Jeff Zucker.
Okay.
This guy was a different guy. But I said, can you make a DVD so I can show my mom that this actually happened?
Right.
I still have the DVD. It says The Office episodes 1 through 6.
Insane. Well, I don't want to bother you anymore. I know you get the big. I'm looking out back. There's like 5 million girls.
Oh, my God.
Are there any guys at this event?
No, I only ask women to come to my events.
Is that true?
No.
And this is, you're doing a Q&A that will be not as good as this one.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's going to be.
No, not at all. In fact,
who's doing the Q&A?
Can I just get to
play it?
Yeah, can we just play it?
Who's doing the Q&A with you?
We could, like, lip sync it.
Who's the. I remember the whole thing. I have one of those kind of numbers. Ask me anything. I know the answer to the question. Anything.
Do you really?
Fire away. Go fire away. You know what I'm good at? This is what I'm good at. I'm good at the Kevin Bacon game.
Are you really?
I'm good at the Kevin Bacon game.
Do you want to do it right now?
Yeah, I'll do it right now.
All right.
Don't say you. Don't be that. Don't have that kind of ego.
No, I can't wait to hear what you do. Corey Feldman to Tom Hanks.
Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
Corey. Were both Coreys in The Lost Boys?
Yes, right?
Well, Jason Patrick was in that, who was in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon, who was in Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks.
Wow. That was pretty good. But what if the two Coreys aren't in there?
I don't know if you probably don't believe that. And I know a lot about sports. I mean, what a winner, right?
Yeah, you are. Seriously.
It's hard to believe it doesn't work out.
Maybe the girls are here for you.
It could be. Yeah, I see a lot of Minahan signs. I could – last one before I let you go. So The Haulers is still playing in theaters around the country?
Yeah, it opened wide last week. So it was a platform release, which means you go, you know, 2 cities, 8 cities, 20 cities.
She's a great actress, Margo Martindale.
She's the best.
She had one of those weird careers where you always knew her. She was always in stuff.
No, I'm so glad you brought it up because I think it's one of the best performances, period. She's always phenomenal. But this is one of those things, you know, people started talking about her as best supporting actress for an Oscar, and I thought that was awesome.
I first noticed her, I think, in she was Sarandon's friend in Dead Man Walking.
That's right.
That was in 95.
You know, she was in Million Dollar Baby.
She was Hillary Swank's mom,
yep.
Right?
And then she's, you know, now she's been in The Americans and all this. Yeah, she's just doesn't stop winning awards now, it seems. Justified, she was crazy.
She was great
in
Justified.
That was unbelievable.
Do you watch a shitload of TV or no?
Yeah. I mean, the shows that I love, that's the thing about television now.
Time.
You can just watch whatever you want. I just got, I'm almost done with The Night Of. Have you watched that yet?
Yeah. I'm going to be critical of it. You ready?
Yep.
I know that you're surprised to hear that. It started out great.
Yeah, I'm on like episode 6.
Where's the female lawyer right now? I don't want to spoil any for you.
Which one? The one that just took over as the lawyer?
The on his side, the one that takes over Totoro.
Yeah, yeah. She's nowhere. She's still his lawyer.
Well, keep an eye on her because it gets ridiculous. Gandolfini, they shot a pilot with Gandolfini in Totoro's role. That's out there.
It was Totoro's role, right?
Yeah, Gandolfini. Yeah.
Well, he was a producer on it.
It was done. Like, they shot a pilot and then he died. You know, but yeah, Totoro was excellent. It's good, but it's a little. Yeah,
that's really upsetting because I was really loving it.
Those are hard. Not like Jack Ryan, which is going to be tremendous.
Thank you.
When do I expect? I am an Amazon Prime subscriber.
Are you?
I like the show with the guy and the girl who met in like England or whatever.
Oh yeah, what is that?
They had sex and she got pregnant.
Yeah, what's
what
that called?
Is it called? Like Knott's Landing or something? I don't know. Whatever the hell it's called.
It's not Knott's Landing.
I think it is. I think it's a reboot. It's what the hell's the name of it? You know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, you watch it.
No, Enlightened was that Laura Dern show.
No, it's called like it's not Unbroken, but it's something like that.
It is Unbroken. Yeah,
it's Unbroken.
They have a side story at the same time of Louis Zamperini. he's a prisoner of war. It's a weird B story.
That's why you love it.
It's kind of unusual.
It's a romantic comedy, but historically accurate.
What is it called?
Engaged.
I mean, this is what Chris
Enough.
Is here for.
Chris, what are you doing? Chris, first of all, put your pants on. Second of all,
Chris, it's okay. It's okay.
Chris.
You have no idea. You have no idea how much. This is like me meeting Bruce Springsteen. I'm serious. Like he all day. Like he's been. You know, we do the show.
You're doing great.
He's a producer, and the producers actually have a podcast after our show where they talk about our show. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the questions he was going to ask you, and he thought that you guys might share a laugh at some point.
We've shared many.
And
laughs.
And it happened.
Are you going to talk about this on your podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to talk about the show tomorrow. We're going to mock him relentlessly. He wears those headphones all the time in his life.
Just in real life?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So we'll find the name. But anyway, so when does that come out?
What, Jack Ryan?
Any idea? Like next year?
No, that'll be not next year. We'll shoot all next year, and it'll come out in 18, I think.
And the untitled Detroit Ryan.
That'll come out next year.
That'll come out next year.
Yep.
It'll lead in that?
No, it's a big ensemble piece.
Can you give me one of the persons? If I look online, somebody's going to tell me who else is in it.
Jason Mitchell's in it. Who was just in
who?
What?
Who?
Jason Mitchell. Did you not see the NWA movie?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
He was phenomenal.
Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Yeah, he played Eazy-E. Jason played Eazy-E.
Oh, he was good. Did you see Paul Giamatti in the Beach Boys movie?
Yes, that was amazing. Wow, you really do see everything.
Yeah. Again, I have two little kids. And I have no life. I get up at 4 o'clock every day. I watch everything. You know when I saw that? When I had shingles a year ago. I had shingles. It was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. It was bad.
Was it painful?
No, it was great. It was awesome. See, The first person who's asked me that question. Now, it turned out actually it was a delightful experience.
Was it as bad as everybody says it
it's,
is?
It was not like one of those guys in the commercials, you know, who like wander around. Like, right. Like, but it was bad. I had it like, it's gone now. It's contagious though.
Did is it? That?
Yeah, you're fucked.
Oh my God.
It's over. You're screwed. But I watched like 50 movies and like.
Does anybody have a wet wipe? This is weird. I usually have one
you'll
on
be,
me with
you'll
my.
Be, you'll be totally fine. You can work with Damon again soon?
Hopefully. I'd love to.
He doesn't want to work with you?
I don't know. I guess not. Now that you brought it up, I'm really insecure
Damon,
about it.
So Affleck's a big deal director now. Why doesn't Affleck work with Damon anymore?
I think they will
feud?
At some point.
Feud?
No, no. What, you want me to feel that right here?
Feud, yeah, yeah. Yes.
This is it. No, they. I'm sure they will at some point.
Would you do a movie? Like, I did not like the Batman Superman movie.
I didn't love it.
Would you do one of those movies? Put on one of those outfits?
Yeah.
You
one
would?
Of those outfits?
Don't you feel a little weird putting on one of those, like a Batman outfit?
Let's be honest. You just said that you don't do anything but watch TV and stuff. You wear an outfit like that every day,
yes,
don't
I
you?
Do. Is that a problem?
You just wanted the truth from me because
yes.
If I said that I would feel this embarrassed, you're like, don't be embarrassed.
I read William Goldman, right? He wrote a couple of books. I'll let you guys know. I'm keeping here too long. He wrote a couple of books about Hollywood. One of them was he got offered the right to to adapt Superman when the first came out. And he was a major Superman fan as a kid, but he turned it down because he couldn't figure out how to do it. And he was convinced they were going to give it to a star at the time.
Right.
So we talked to Warren Beatty one time, and they offered Warren Beatty the role of Superman.
That's right, yeah.
Beatty said he put on the outfit at his house and ran around the pool and looked himself in the mirror and said, I
can't
think
do it.
I don't think I can do this. They offered it to Eastwood. They offered it to all
these
guys,
really?
But they finally found the right guy, which is they cast an unknown, and they surround him with a bunch of famous people.
Christopher Reeve was unknown at that
totally
point.
Unknown at
wow,
that point. He was like a local theater guy, but they put Gene Hackman in it.
Oh yeah, it was the best.
And all those
Brando,
and Brando was in it.
Yeah,
right? That's true. So you would do that?
Yeah,
all right.
I would. I mean, again, it's got to be a good
well,
story.
Jack Ryan
though.
Can fly, right?
In this one,
fly.
He would. In this one, yeah, yeah. We have like hoverboards and stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go. I'll let you go do your thing. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
When you're in Boston, can you come?
Chris, I had more fun with you. Let's be honest.
Can you come? We do a podcast with Curtis this time. We just ask you. The Chris Farley thing once again. Remember that time when you played a prank on Dwight?
Oh my God.
That was awesome. Remember when Michael
remember when you
was
were
like,
in the Beatles? That was my favorite Chris Farley ever. When he asked Paul McCartney, do you remember when you were in the Beatles?
That, he'll be like, remember that time Michael said something stupid and you looked at Pam? That was unbelievable.
That was awesome.
That was incredible.
That was awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck. I hope you get to number one on
we're
this
gonna
one.
We're going to try. We're going to try.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll just do this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.